And welcome back to Pop Topic. We're here to discuss the latest news in popular news for the last week of September 2020. I'm your host, Quentin Phillipson, and with me is my co-host, who is in the mood, just starting October with some pumpkin spice flavors, Alexander Welling. How are you doing this week?
Oh yeah, you know, I'm enjoying all those pumpkin spice flavors. You got your lattes, your hot chocolates, your Cremo cappuccinos, your whatever weird Starbucks flavored drink you can think of. But I tell you, I heard about this new pumpkin spice craze that's going to be coming out here. And I have to say, there's some fucking weirdos out there.
And speaking of weirdos out there, we have our second co-host, Tristan Phillipson. How are you doing this week?
He's dead.
Yeah, maybe I hurt his feelings here. Technicalities aside, we'll let Tristan hop back on whenever he gets that figured out, but we'll move on without him. Alex, anything new going on this week?
Anything new going on this week? I started a new part-time job. Crazy stuff. I know, right?
What's this part-time job?
This part-time job is still in security, but it's a lot of like high-profile kind of security work. Like, you've seen me in my like white uniform before, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen a picture somewhere. Anyways, this is what I was dressed up in at my new job.
Well, this is not a visual podcast. Why don't you describe it to the audience here?
Okay, so basically, instead of having like a shirt over a vest and looking very baggy and goofy and whatnot, think of like the tactical vest on the outside, and everything is strapped to the front of your chest. You got a body cam, you got your mic, you got a med bag kit, you got your cuffs on your vest. It is fucking ridiculous. And it's also a baton sight. So I mean, this is something I've never worked before, so this will be interesting stuff to say the least. But you know what? Excited for it.
What's Welling excited for?
Tristan's back. Yeah. Welling is excited because he has a third part-time job for security.
A third part? That's a lot of jobs, man.
He loves security, man. He is here for the people.
I'm telling
you. Two part-time jobs and a full-time job.
He's giving Paul Blart a run for his money.
Yeah, he's step aside Paul Blart. We got the real cop in town.
Well, did you see that uniform, sir? It is like fucking huge.
I am ready for the third mall cop movie, but this time it's called Alex Welling Mall Cop.
It'd be called Blart vs. Dog, and when Welling enters the mall, the song "Who Let the Well Dog Out?"
Yes, absolutely. And Well Dog better sing the song. It better be him on the vocals. Let's just make it whole a musical.
Yeah, Paul Blart 3 is going to be a musical.
Not Paul Blart 3, Mall Cop 3, all right? It's going to be Welling in there.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You bet it is.
For those that can't see the photo, because they obviously can't, Welling, picture like the porno where the guy comes in and goes, "So I heard someone broke into the house," in this like super sexy black strap outfit. And the girl's like, "Actually, they didn't, but do you mind if I break into your pants?" That's kind of the outfit that I'm getting from this. Top tier quality.
Top tier quality. That's how it goes.
Yeah, Welling's here to arrest some bitches and get some numbers.
Yeah, does he have like fuzzy handcuffs on his belt?
Yeah.
No, but I have seen somebody work there with pink handcuffs.
Well, I was going to say, Welling, for April Fools, you should just like have like a bunch of porn stuff in your outfit and see if your boss notices.
It's like just a black dildo.
Yeah.
It's instead of something else, it's like those frayed leather whips.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should just like change up your whole getup.
Vibrator.
And then when your boss is like, "What the frig's wrong with you?" Just be like, "April Fools, man.
April Fools, man. This ain't effective as shit."
All right, so Tristan, what's new going on with you this week? Have you become a part-time sex cop as well?
I haven't, not yet. The strip club hasn't gotten back to me about my application.
Yeah, Welling beat you for the position.
I don't blame him. I would hire him over me too. Not much is going on with me, man. I binge watched Cobra Kai this week. That's a fucking great show.
No. Wasn't that like originally on a, wasn't that like a YouTube original at some
point? Yeah, it was a YouTube premium at one point, which is really good quality for like a YouTube show. Not what you would expect. Now it's on Netflix and it's fantastic.
How many seasons are there?
There's two and they're coming up with a third.
Okay. See, I like short shows. Anything more than like five seasons is too
They're only 10 episodes each and they're all the episodes are only like 30 minutes. So you can watch it pretty quickly.
Okay, you can blitz through it pretty quick then.
Oh yeah, pretty fast. And if you like the original Karate Kid, you're gonna love this show. The show is great.
I'm assuming it has the same actors and everything.
All the same actors, yeah. The whole main cast comes back. They're all actually in their 40s now, which I think is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously a whole bunch of new kids to train, right? Karate Kid. It's great. I really, really enjoyed it. That, and I've also caught up yesterday on The Boys. I got around to watching that. That's a great show too.
Yeah, The Boys is great. I was telling Welling that he should check it out since he loves superheroes. Really yeah, he it's loves superheroes. Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a Welling show, so yeah, he should check it out.
I've heard it's a good show, and honestly, I'm so behind on TV and movies because I've been watching so much Among Us on YouTube.
Oh,
well, that's a lame excuse. You should start watching The Boys. I haven't
played
the
game yet, but it looks like a lot of fun.
You haven't played the game yet?
I haven't, but it looks fun.
Bro!
It's fine. It's an okay game. Yeah, but I haven't seen the newest episode of The Boys, so I heard that one's the best one so far, so I guess I need to wait till it gets good.
Is the episode called The Girls?
But I'm surprised there hasn't been an episode called The Girls yet, honestly. I feel like they're probably...
The whole Girls Get It Done storyline, I'm surprised they didn't call it that. Yeah. So, I don't know, maybe they're saving that for a better moment.
Maybe they'll have a spin-off series called The Girls.
Maybe. Well, actually, it's funny how you said that because they just announced that they are buying the rights to a spin-off for the show.
Really?
Yeah, so they're going to have two different shows for it.
Is The Boys based on anything? Is this based on like a comic book series?
Yeah, it's based on a comic book series.
Is it like a Valorant comic book or like who makes this? Not DC and Marvel.
I know nothing about comics. I just know it's off of comic books.
It feels like a Valorant type thing.
Yeah, not it's much great. About it. But yeah, all I know is it's good.
It's a great show.
Yeah. Yesterday, I was talking to somebody and they were letting me know that one of the libraries at our city was just rebuilt and how it looks gorgeous. And I was like, wait, they sell movies in libraries, don't they? And I quickly got a library card and I am now addicted. Pretty much every hour I'm looking up new movies online to rent for free. It's pretty much like Blockbuster all over again.
Libraries are fantastic. I feel like not a lot of people use libraries as a resource because they just like everything's on the internet. But like libraries still have a lot of great stuff in there, from movies to books. I remember like the library in St. Albert where we used to live had like video games and stuff. I used to go and rent Mortal Kombat and stuff and just get that from the library. It was great.
Yeah, the libraries here. I don't know who uses the library. I thought nobody did, but there's like for some films. There's some pretty long-ass holds for it. Parasite, probably because it won Best Picture for the most recent Oscars, has 597 holds.
Oh my gosh.
Jesus.
That's a lot. Bro,
this is over 6 months after the Oscars. Like, what's going on?
That's crazy. It is a great movie. I'm hoping they have more than one copy. If there's only one copy, you're not getting it for 3 years.
No. They have 25 copies, I think.
25. This must be a massive library you're at.
Well, no. It's like Edmonton Public Library as a whole. So all libraries have a system.
That makes sense, yeah.
So what I do is I look at the movies that are available in any of the libraries, and I'm not going to drive 20 to 30 minutes to a library on the other side of this city. So what you can do is you can just let them know which library you want to pick it up from, and then they'll just ship it to that library.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So yeah, there's a lot of films that are taken right now, like they're in different libraries. I just told them to all ship it to Capilano. And so every time one of them comes up in Capilano, I get a notification that there's a new one waiting for me. It's pretty great. Hmm. And no contact. You just walk in and there's like a shelf with your number and ID on it and you just pick it up. So it's pretty quick, easy. Love it. I already got two. I just got ordered them all yesterday, or I guess technically 2 a.m. today was when I ordered a bunch of films. And then I woke up and I went to the library and picked up two that were already there.
Nice. Yes, get it.
So, you know, I've suddenly become a pro library guy.
You become a library nerd. Congrats.
Yeah. I haven't read since, high school, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess libraries have their benefits. The video games have a long lineup, though, so forget that.
That's fair.
I quickly looked up the, what was it? Paper Mario game, because I had never bothered buying it, but I figured, oh, maybe I can quickly play it, because you have 3 weeks to watch the movie or play the game.
Oh, you can grind out Paper Mario in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I was like, easy. That'd be easy, but that all video games have, at least 100 holds.
That's fair. Or at least copies, though.
Or at least all the big Mario games from the Switch do. Like, Odyssey's the same thing. Mario Party. I think they have,
the 3D All-Stars?
Yeah, I bought that and it just came in yesterday. I haven't played it yet, probably because I'm going to be watching a bunch of movies from the library now, but
fair enough.
I bought it early just because there's a limited release for the 3D Mario game.
Yeah, I want to pick it up. I haven't picked it up yet.
Yeah, and I heard that a lot of stores are already sold out. Amazon wasn't, so I quickly bought one.
Fair enough. It looks pretty awesome. I'm really excited to play Sunshine. That's the one I'm really excited to play. I played Galaxy before, and that's obviously a blast.
Well, that's the one that I'm least excited because I've played it, but I've never played 64 or Sunshine, so I'm stoked to play those.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I haven't finished Odyssey yet, though, so I feel kind of obligated to finish Odyssey first, but I'm also, I just kind of want to go get it now.
We can also just buy and then get to it later. We can move on to stories here. The top story, I don't know if you guys have been seeing this in the news trends of the last 24 hours, but have you guys heard of the Heroic Rat?
No, I've not.
So there is.
I have not.
Tristan, I thought Tristan might have been aware of this.
Wait. I did read something briefly. Did they pull a gigantic rat out of the sewer?
No.
I saw what Wong was talking about, but I don't think that was a real rat. I'm pretty sure that was just a Halloween decoration. I did see that one, though, if that counts.
No, that doesn't count. This rat is way better than those peasant rats. Because we have a true hero on our hands. We thought Alex Sex Cop Well Dog was the hero here, but
well,
we have...
Don't insult Sex Cop Well Dog.
All right, sorry. Yeah. So sorry. Maybe they're on par here for heroism, but this rat has been sniffing out landmines over in Cambodia, and because of his heroic efforts in smelling out the mines, they have given him a bravery award that they would hand out to soldiers that fought well. So the rat is now considered a hero among the city, and he has his own personalized little medal for his bravery.
That's awesome. How many landmines has the rat sniffed out?
I don't know. They should have kept a tally here. Well, let me see if we have a rough estimation here. He had discovered 39 landmines and 28 pieces of unexploded ordnance.
Jesus.
Wow. What a freaking trooper. That's what Pizza Rat's a shame, you know?
Yeah. Pizza Rat is, he's still in the top five rats. Maybe he might be next to Remy the Rat from Pixar at this point, but I gotta say.
Below Splinter.
Jesus.
Sorry, what was that, Alex?
I was about to make a Remy joke.
Yeah.
He beat you to it.
Yeah, but
I'm letting him talk.
I believe the rat here, his name is Magawa. So Magawa, he is the official, I'd like to say it, best rat of the world. He's the hero we need.
How long do you think we get an animated adaptation of this story?
No. Who's going to be the one to make this story?
Oh, Sony. Sony Animated Pictures, 100%. No way. All right, Illumination doesn't have the budget for this kind of thing. And Disney doesn't do this kind of thing. All right, this is a Sony picture.
Sony makes for sure it was not going to be Illumination. They wouldn't think of a story as good as this.
And Disney numbers original stuff. Very rarely do they take off of, especially not modern stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was gonna say they're very well known for taking off classic folk tales, but nothing of historical or modern day news.
No.
I can see maybe
DreamWorks mostly just does originals. Has DreamWorks ever done anything that's not an original tale? Except for the biblical stuff they did in the early ages, Prince of Egypt and, Sinbad and those kind of ones. But I think they're mostly just original tales.
Well, also, didn't Illumination buy out DreamWorks?
Did they?
Yeah, I thought they bought the rights to it, so they're going to be remaking Shrek and everything just to make easy money.
They're remaking Shrek, bro?
Wait, I knew that they were remaking Shrek, but I didn't know that was Illumination doing it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I fucking hope not.
They cannot touch that sacred property.
Yeah,
I know
like,
they're remaking Shrek with the original cast, but I assumed it was DreamWorks doing it. I didn't know Illumination had their hands in there.
I think so. I'd have to fact check that. Don't put that in the news, but I'm pretty sure Illumination, either they own DreamWorks or they own Shrek. Like, I think they're the ones remaking Shrek.
Realistically, they own DreamWorks, though. It's still its own animation studio, much like how Disney owns Pixar, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. It would still be its own studio.
So DreamWorks movies, I still would believe will for sure be better than the Illumination movies, by and large. Maybe not all of them, but most of them.
I think DreamWorks quality will dip, but I don't think it's going to be Minion level films. Like, I still have faith that DreamWorks will still have its own style.
Yeah. The fact that two Despicable Me movies are made over $1 billion is real depressing.
Yeah, Tristan's losing sleep from that.
I really am.
All right. So I agree with you. Sony might be a good one, but I don't know if either of you guys are a big fan of Studio Ghibli, but could you see them making a story like this? I feel like this might be wild enough and crazy enough for them to do.
You know, and it's set in what, Cambodia? That's in Asia.
Yeah.
This could be seen as
Studio Ghibli is.
They do like a My Neighbor Totoro and, you know, Mowgli's Castle in the Sky, those kind of movies. Spirited Away would probably be their
So like anime.
The anime movies, yeah. I've only seen one so far. I meant to watch them all. They're all on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm slowly watching them all. I took a long break, but I've seen the first five.
I've only seen the first one. That's the Castle in the Sky.
Yes. Yeah, Castle in the Sky. Yeah.
The one I saw was fantastic, I thought.
No, it was good. I think my favorite so far is Graveyard of Fireflies or My Neighbor Totoro. Those two are great.
Not Spirited Away?
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, I thought it was the second one they did.
No, Spirited Away is like mid. It's like in the middle. I think it's like number 9 or 10 out of their like 18. But yeah, it's a 5-year-old African giant pouched rat, Magawa. He is, I don't know. It might be close between sex. Oh, I almost said sex god well dog. Sex cop well dog. He's also a sex god. Yeah. I wasn't wrong either way. They're both correct. Sex cop / sex god well dog. I don't know. Hemera Magawa should have their own movie together. Battle of the Cops. Or I guess Battle of the Heroes. Magawa's not a cop. He's a hero.
It could be like a buddy cop movie.
Yeah. Buddy cop movie of well dog and the rat.
Yeah. What could go wrong there?
Yeah. Nothing. It should be a hit. That definitely sounds like an Illumination film. Well Dog and the Rat.
Oh, absolutely.
Illumination, not a great film, but speaking of far better films, we have Disney announcing their lineup. Black Widow was supposed to come out months ago, was pushed all the way back to November or late October, I believe. And they just announced, once again, they are going to be pushing it all the way back to May. For Black Widow, and therefore all their other films lined up for the upcoming 6 months are all being pushed back as well. Disney will not be releasing any more films in 2020.
Okay. Oh, well, I mean, they basically just put 2020 and said, screw it.
Yeah, 2020 is over at this point. And because of this, the movie theaters were really holding out for Black Widow. This was their chance to make some money back. And because it was pushed back, the theaters have announced online in some press here that we understand why they pushed it back. We're glad they didn't move it to Disney Plus, but because of this decision Disney made, we are likely going to be closing the theaters again.
Mm-hmm.
So the theaters, they were open for a little bit. We got to see Tenet. We got to see Tenet, and now it's closed again.
I'm so mad.
Not yet, but the fact that they're announcing it, the fact that they're saying, well, it might be the case, it pretty much means, prepare, guys. We got a few weeks left.
Only a few weeks? Oh, no.
Well, I don't know when they're closing it. Who knows? there's nothing else out right now, unless you want to watch Tenet for the second time.
I haven't seen it yet.
All right, or if you're in Welling's case, the first time.
Exactly.
So that might mean some of the other films that we have here. Of course, Pixar's Soul. It was supposed to come out in November, but that's now being pushed back. Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds was on December 11th. That's being pushed back. And a few other films that I'm not too familiar with. Yeah, Disney taking out a lot of the big ones here. For me, Soul's the big one. I was excited for that one. I'm sure for Welling, it was Black Widow.
Yeah, I had a couple favorites, but, you know, we'll just wait and see.
So there we have it. The Oscars looking less and less exciting, all these big films leaving.
It's unfortunate, but, you know, we still got those hope for some indie films on the streaming services.
So if all the movies are being pulled from 2020, does that mean that Welling's prediction, Mulan, will be the biggest film of 2020? Is that going to come to fruition? Is Mulan going to win it all?
Disney is apparently happy with the money that it's raked in.
You guys are so wrong here. Everyone knows it's going to be Bad Boys for Life.
Oh, whoa. Tristan comes out of nowhere with a hot take.
Bad Boys for Life, baby.
So what were we saying, though, Welling, about Mulan?
Oh, I was saying apparently Disney has been happy with how much money it's making, which is actually kind of funny because of all the backlash.
I'm glad you set that up for me, Alex, because I was just want to point this out because this is the big story in my mind. Disney removed everything for 2020. And instead of saying, hey, Black Widow, Mulan was so successful. They kept, for what, the last few weeks, Alex, they've been saying Mulan has been so successful from Disney Plus. We are so happy with the results, even though everybody hated it. Disney is pretending, we made so much money. This is great. We loved it. It was perfect. More money than we could have ever hoped for. Mm-hmm. If they made so much money from this Mulan shtick, then why are they moving Black Widow from all the way from November all the way to May 2021 for theaters? You know what? If this is so great, Disney Plus, why isn't it going to Disney Plus? It's because they didn't make money.
I have a theory. I think they would have made somewhere in the $250 to $300 million range.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Which for a movie is a pretty good turnout. But nothing will beat the $800, $900 million they get out of a movie theater run. And that's what they're hoping to do with Black Widow. Instead of making a cool $200 million off it, they're going to wait until they can pop it in theaters and make that $900
million. Well, yeah, obviously, yeah. They definitely made like $200 million off Mulan, but they were expecting that to be in the billion-dollar club. There's no way they're happy with $200 million. They're trying to pretend, we made so much.
Even if they did make money, right? And the thing is, we don't know how much they made, right? We have no idea.
Yeah, there's no way of telling.
They said prior to Mulan being released, when they first told us how they're going to release Mulan as a premium offering on Disney+, they said this will be the only movie we will do this for. We won't do this for any of the other movies. Prior to the movie even being released, they said that. And so now, after they did that, with all the backlash, if they go back on their word as a company saying, we said we weren't going to do this, but it was really successful, so we're going to do it again. Now for an even bigger movie that even more people want to watch. We're going to do the exact same thing. It'll be even more of a backlash. And right now, Disney's only making money through Disney+. Theme parks aren't making big revenue because they have to be at half capacity and only the Florida ones are open. The rest of them are closed. They're making no money from theaters, right? Merchandise sales, I guess, might be all right, but Disney stores are closed. I'm assuming merchandise sales are also slow. If people start leaving Disney+, so they keep putting things as premium offerings and keep pissing off their main customer base, they're going to be in the shitter hard. They can't say, we're going to do this, and then go back on it because something's successful. So even if Mulan was the biggest success they've ever had, even Mulan...
And there he goes.
Ah, he's doing so good.
He was in the middle of a rant.
Well, Justin got cut out there, but even though he's not here to listen to me admit this, he does have a point how they can't go back on their word here. I still don't believe this was the success that they're pretending it was, but... Yeah, Disney Plus is their biggest source of revenue here. And thinking about this more, Disney Plus, I think Disney really got a big break here with COVID because they just got Disney Plus months before it. Obviously, this whole pandemic happened. And now it's suddenly become their saving grace during this time. Like, if COVID happened a year before when Disney Plus wasn't out yet, it would have hit them a lot harder.
Okay.
But yeah, they definitely have Disney Plus to lean on here as their crutch, so to speak. Black Widow, I'm glad they are moving it to Disney Plus. Thank goodness they're not doing that. That would have been horrible.
Yeah, sounds like it would have been horrible.
Well, you know, in my mind, I'm sure people would have been stoked to pay $30 to watch it online, I guess. I don't know. I'm more of a movie theater guy.
I mean, yeah, I'm more of a movie theater guy too, don't get me wrong. But I mean, there's some suckers that paid $35 to see Mulan.
Oh, for sure. Oh yeah, there's tons of suckers. I could list off 5 people from my Facebook feed that watched that.
It's really funny. I was over at a friend's house last night, and they were like, "Yo, you want to watch the new Mulan movie? I haven't seen it yet." And I'm like, "Oh, sweet! You got the premiere access? Yeah, sure, I'll watch it with you." And she's like, "What are you talking about?" And she's like, and I'm just like, "Click on the thing."
Mm-hmm.
She clicked on it. Oh.
Yeah.
She got me all hyped up for nothing, man.
Yeah, it's surprising how few people. I keep hating on their advertisement of how many Facebook posts and Instagram posts and Twitter ads and everything that I get for this thing. But there are still people that I talk to that are like, "Yo, I'm so excited that Mulan's out on Disney Plus." And I would be like, "Yeah, for $35." And they didn't realize that. It still hasn't reached some people as to what that means. So it's funny how I keep hating on all these ads, but maybe they need more, because yeah, some people still don't seem to understand that. That was a joke, Disney. Do not give me more ads, please.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Disney's moving their whole lineup here, and yeah, you know, what can you do? 2020 is looking smaller and smaller in terms of film, but 2021, let's get this pandemic over. 2021 will be great for film. So speaking of films here, we talked about the Oscars. Was it last week or the week before? It's all a blur to me, Alex, but we talked about the Oscar Academy here changing a bit of the rules for the best picture in regards to showing more representation. And despite the backlash, I think people have started to understand this and have started to accept these changes. And to jump in on the bandwagon here, the BAFTA, the British Awards, are also planning to change the rules up as well. They're kind of taking the same tone here.
Is this like the amount of ridiculous backlash that the Oscars got, even though they didn't really deserve it?
It's funny because I believe the BAFTA, they haven't announced anything yet as to what they're doing, but they said the reason why they're doing it is because they haven't had a female director nomination in the last decade for their for their awards. And last year, every actor and actress nomination was white. And so because of those two facts that people have been pointing out to them, and because the Academy has changed their tune with the representation, BAFTA has announced that they're going to work on it as well. We don't know what they're doing yet. Something tells me they're probably just going to take the exact same format that the Academy did and just copy paste it, delete the Academy name and throw in BAFTA and then call it a day. I'm sure it's not going to change that much.
Yeah, you bet.
Tristan's back. Tristan, you missed it, but I agreed with you with the whole... Oh, you're cutting out a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, you missed it. I agree with you about the Mulan thing. They were probably relatively happy with whatever money they made from it. Who's to know? But even if they were, the backlash they would get would be even worse than what they got from Mulan. So... probably best, especially for such a beloved MCU franchise, to kind of just stick to the theater format. But we were just talking here about the BAFTA plans to change the representation in the awards.
Right, right.
So you heard about the Academy changing the rules a few weeks ago, correct?
Yeah, it's about a month ago now. Yeah, I heard about that.
It was 2 weeks ago, I believe.
Really? Wow, it feels forever ago. I read through them quickly. I'd be lying if I said I remember them. I know it's mostly to include more, obviously more diversity, and they're movies they pick, movies that are eligible to be picked. I think the biggest thing is, who the hell cares about BAFTA anyways?
Yeah.
Who cares about this?
Well, actually, I like BAFTA because BAFTA releases their award winners 2 weeks before the Oscars, and
true,
a large majority of the time, their Best Picture winner is the same Best Picture winner.
True. It's a good, probably a better gauge of what was at the Oscars than, say, the Golden Globes.
Oh, yeah. I care about BAFTA way more than the Golden Globes, yeah.
No, literally, yeah, I would agree with that. I think more astute film lovers probably care about a BAFTA, whereas maybe more casual fans probably care about a
Golden Globes
a little more, where more popular films will probably more likely to win awards.
Yeah, BAFTA's probably the, like, I pretty much only follow the Oscars, obviously, but
yeah,
the only other award ceremony that I actually check updates on, because I'm actually, like, interested to see who won, would be BAFTA. Like, it's the other one that I would follow, I guess.
Yeah, and I think the similarity between the two is why it's not surprising at all that when one changes a rule, the other one will.
Exactly, and that's what I was saying to Alex, how they changed the format. They haven't said what the format is, but it's probably just going to be the exact same word-for-word format as the Academy, just to keep the guidelines very similar.
And I think they want to do that because I think they want to be similar to the Oscars. So like you're saying, the only reason you really pay attention to them is because it's a good gauge of what we see at the Oscars. You know, I think the majority of people who are paying attention to the BAFTAs are doing that so they can kind of get a sneak preview, possibly, of what we'll see at the Oscars. And so if now the rules are different and different movies are eligible than the Oscars, they're not quite that preview of the Oscars that they're known as now. They'd be more so like Golden Globe, sort of their own offshoot of a weird sort of award ceremony that, whether you care or not, you know, depending on personal taste.
That's a fair point. And that's also because I believe the BAFTA, all the voters for the BAFTA is also Academy voters. They're just like, there's just less of them. So it's like 10% of the Academy voters are voting for the BAFTA.
Yeah.
So that would be why their votes are pretty similar. And that's probably why they want to keep the guidelines as similar as their bigger brother, the Oscars.
Yeah, exactly.
When we were discussing the Oscar changes, I was telling Alex that I assumed you would have been very against this, because I know how you are very pro keeping it just as clean as possible for the awards. Were you bothered by it, or were you kind of with me where... Well,
I don't really care too much. Like I said, I barely even read them. I don't really care too much. My biggest thing is, like, prior to this, correct me if I'm wrong, but prior to this, the only regulation, the only thing you had to follow in order to be submitted to the Oscars, there's no rules as long as you were in theaters for 1 week in both Los Angeles and New York, or just Los Angeles. I think that was it, right? There was no regulation what was in your movie, what your movie was about, anything like that, right? It could be literally anything else as long as you were playing in theaters for 1 week in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And so now they're actually adding guidelines and rules to it. Like I said, I barely even read the rules, so I can't really have much of an opinion on it. I think the biggest thing is I really don't care. I am just a little worried about, like, will it limit what you can make? Because my real question is, like, does 1917 follow all those rules? And this was a cast that was all white males, because it was taking place in World War II, where obviously... Wait, World War One, my bad, not World War II.
Yeah.
Where it would have been majority male fighters. I don't think any women really went to war there. Maybe a few, depending. And majority probably white people, because it was mostly taking place in Europe, where at the time, yeah, there was still majority white people in Europe. So it would make sense that the entire movie was white males. Not that it was being sexist or racist, it was, you know, of the time.
Right.
But there are few and far movies that would be like that, right? Like there's no reason why other movies don't have more diversity. I'm not against diversity by any means, as long as it makes sense to the movie. Even something like Jojo Rabbit. I guess Jojo Rabbit had lots of females and female leads. But there's obviously, I don't think there are any people of color in Jojo Rabbit, but also wouldn't make sense for the people of color Jojo Rabbit. It was an entire movie in Nazi Germany, right, where everyone was white and Aryan. That's the whole fucking point of Nazi Germany.
Right, but...
At that point, as long as it doesn't limit those kind of creative decisions or period piece decisions, right, because some period pieces could be taken out because of that. Like, would 1917 still be eligible?
Yeah, 1917 was still eligible. All the nominations from last year, at least, I didn't really look into the other years, but I tested out... Ford v. Ferrari, all white men cast. True. Irishman, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, 1917, a lot of white male casts still would have all qualified.
Are still eligible, then these must be pretty, like I said, I barely read the guidelines. They must be pretty lax.
It's very, very lenient. We discussed it where you have to follow two of the four guidelines. One of them has to do with on-screen presence. And most of the films that we just discussed, 1917, Once Upon a Time, Irishman, Ford v Ferrari, they wouldn't have qualified for the first qualification. But you only need to pass two of the four. And one of them is you need to have two members of any minority, whether it be female, race, ethnicity, whatever it is, in any of the behind the scene roles. That'd be costume, makeup,
cinematography. Okay. Yeah, I read that and I thought it was on screen. So I'm like, well, now if you're doing a movie like 1970, it's going to have two people who are say black or something like that on, you know, on screen when you're set in 1917's France.
Yeah.
But if it's behind the scenes, yeah, I'd be surprised if it isn't at least two people.
Yeah, it's a super...
Two people is a low number.
It's a low bar to qualify. And they even pointed out that even if you couldn't get, like, if all those roles in behind the scenes, you don't have two people of minority, the second caveat for that section is you need to have six crew members in the entire production of the film of any minority. So literally you could go out and be like, all right, so who's working the set? Are any of you female? Six.
I thought you said that was the last one was just two people on set that were minority.
No. Like it would be like any of like the big major roles, like costumes, makeup, directing.
Oh, okay. Like head departments.
Like head departments.
Gotcha. Okay.
But if those don't qualify, then it would literally be six of the couple thousand people you have on set. Yeah,
the thousands of people working on the movie.
So it's an extremely low bar.
So like these rules, are they really doing anything?
It's just the Oscars and BAFTA trying to be woke.
Like trying to save face, yeah. What do you think about this, Welling? I know that, what's your opinion on this one?
In what aspect am I supposed to have an opinion on this?
Just about the rule changes to the Oscars.
I can't remember exactly what all the rule changes were, but at first, without knowing what they were, I was just like, oh my god, they're conforming to reality. But then Quentin explained what the rule changes were, and I'm just like, that's the fucking easiest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Pretty simple. Honestly, you need like two of the five, and one of them is get an intern.
Yeah, that's another one. If any film wants to be qualifying for the Oscars, they can. It's not going to be hard.
No, that seems most definitely doable.
If they take heart, then they stupid.
Yeah, that's like the bare minimum. This is like the absolute bare minimum.
It's just like getting a D on your university exam and be like, yeah, that's a pass.
hey, that's how I graduated university.
Yeah. So, the last few weeks, there's been a lot of talk about Ellen DeGeneres. We haven't been talking about it too much because, you know, like, it's not that exciting. But Ellen DeGeneres, the new co-producer for the show, is filling in as the host. Ellen DeGeneres is nowhere to be seen for her own show now. And a lot of people are starting to think, especially because she hasn't said if she's going to be returning or not, that maybe she won't be returning to her own show. Are they going to keep calling it the Ellen DeGeneres Show? I just started the story just because I have a genuine question. Are we going to have like some random guy come on? I believe this dude's name, he calls himself The Boss. Stephen Boss is his name. Are we just going to have Stephen Boss just come on and be like, all right, my name's Stephen. Welcome to the Ellen Show. Or are they going to call this The Boss Show or something?
They're going to call this the Helen Boss Show. Did I say Helen? Ellen.
Okay, I was like, are you like trying to make a joke that she's the devil?
I had to correct myself.
Maybe they could name the show Who's the Boss? Is that already a show? I feel like that is. Mm. Hear me out, Alex, all right? Mm-hmm. So, the Ellen DeGeneres Show, she's no longer in it. There's now somebody named Stephen Boss. Mm-hmm. What if at the end of this season, during the season finale, the boss, Steven himself, rips his face off and it was a mask and it was Ellen DeGeneres all this time and she goes, hey guys, it's your girl Ellen and this was Undercover Boss.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. She went undercover to listen to all of her staff shit on her.
Yeah, I mean that's one way of figuring out your loyal staff.
So Tristan, we now have Stephen Boss, who is now the temporary host for the Ellen DeGeneres Show, and we were just discussing whether or not we think Stephen Boss is going to stay as the host here, and are they going to continue naming it the Ellen DeGeneres Show?
I don't know who Stephen Bost is.
I have no idea.
I was really hoping. I know Eric Andre was wanting to be the host of the Ellen DeGeneres Show, and still keep it called the Ellen DeGeneres Show, which I thought was a hilarious idea, and I was really hoping that would happen.
Yes, I heard about that.
Yeah, I was really hoping they would give it to Eric Andre, because he would have been great. I don't know who Stephen Bost is. I've never heard of this guy in my life.
No. Neither have I. This is the first time I've heard of this dude.
Changing name to the Stephen Bost Show, it's not going to make it.
All right, hear me out. I do think Boss is just there temporarily until they can fly over Magawa from Cambodia and we can have the rat host the show.
Oh. I would tune into the Magawa show.
The Magawa show.
That sounds a good man. I think that could work.
The Magawa hour.
It wouldn't be any worse than the Boss show, I can tell you that much.
No, Magawa would be beloved. Ellen is currently hated by most people, but Magawa is the fan favorite we need here.
Absolutely. He's the hero we need, not the hero we deserve.
What if they just had Magawa and Sex Cop Well Dog host the show together?
Anything with Magawa I'll watch, even if it means I have to get through Sex Cop Well Dog.
Why do you say it like that?
Oh, wait, only if a Welling will wear his vest that he wears for a security job and nothing else.
I knew you were going to say that. As long as he wears his vest, I'm thinking to myself, he's going to say, and nothing else.
Yeah. Damn right.
I got a military attack helicopter attached to me, if you know what I mean.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Well,
and there has to at least be a segment where a bunch of people are up there. One of them has a bomb in their ass, and Magawa has a I hope it's Well Dog with the bomb in his head.
That's gonna be the shtick, where it's gonna be like three random people in the audience and Well Dog are standing in a line, and the shtick is the bomb's always up Welling's ass.
It's always Welling.
But they never tell Magawa, but he always figures it out. He like looks at Welling and is like, it's you again, ain't it?
I think this could work. I think it's better than the Ellen DeGeneres show ever was.
I'd pay good money to watch the Magawa hour.
Yeah, that'd be pretty great.
Even if, for some reason, Boss wants to keep the job here, they could just start a new show. This is what the people want.
I do question how, like, daytime television, like, you know, these talk shows or even soap operas, are still really making money and still being there. Because with the old... They used to be necessary in order to have something on TV during the middle of the day when no one's watching TV, because they're cheap, easy to produce, and the people who were at home would tune in to watch them. But now that you can watch anything from blockbuster movies to primetime television, whenever you want to watch TV, whether it be at 2 in the afternoon or 7 o'clock at night, you can with Netflix and all these other streaming services. I'm surprised that daytime television is still around. Like, how much longer really do we have of daytime television? Till they just cut the axe and just put reruns of Friends and Office in those, you know, daytime hour programming slots.
Daytime television really is only around for two things. Local news. Actually, three things. Local news, old people that want to watch their soap operas, and people that are into sports.
So all the losers.
But most like, the daytime television I'm talking about is, like, soap operas and talk show hosts, right? Like, obviously, people who are into sports and local news is neither one of those, really, right?
You make a point.
But they're still making lots, and I really don't understand how they're still making money. I guess they have their loyal fan base, but, like, I don't know. I don't know how much longer any of those things could last. Obviously, Oprah's been done for a decade now, but Ellen DeGeneres is probably the last big major talk show, right? Like, after Ellen is essentially done now, I can't see how any talk show hosts are still making money.
Yeah, it looks like Ellen's pretty much done. This might be the death of the talk shows.
And honestly, I won't miss them.
I won't miss them. I'm with you, Tristan. I don't know why people are wasting their time with daytime television and these talk shows when we have Carol Baskin's on Dancing with the Stars. Like, what are you guys doing?
That is primetime television,
yeah,
baby.
Priority. I only watch the clips of Carol Baskin on the show because that's the only one I care about. But I do watch, and man, my heart was pumping. I was so invested during the elimination episode. She was in the bottom two, and she made it through.
Yes, more Carol.
Yeah, my girl made it to round two. I'm so proud of her.
They must use that term "stars" very loosely in that show, then, eh?
Well, yeah, because Carole Baskins is the only star.
Carole Baskins. I mean, I guess that's great. So I'm guessing there's no audience then. I am guessing because this is, like, new? It must be.
Yeah. This is new. So probably some fake audience.
Fake audience. I mean, that's cool. I've never seen Dance with the Stars. I've seen some of the ones when they do, like, a Disney songs for dances, only because I was putting on a Disney dance performance thing at one point. But other than that, I haven't seen very many of these.
Have you not seen Carole Baskin dancing to Eye of the Tiger?
Oh my god, I haven't, but now I will. That sounds fantastic.
You haven't seen that?
I haven't.
That
how do you couple dance the Eye of the Tiger?
Oh, trust me, you do. They got like stuffed tigers, they got tiger print everything, neon colors. It was
this is amazing.
I don't know how she got bottom two for those.
Wow, that was the one that got her bottom two. How many more songs are there that have tiger or cat references she can do?
I think she might eventually start going to the Joe Exotic barrel.
I mean, the oh yeah, in the jungle, that is an obvious next one, right?
Yeah,
like that's got to be next, right? They got to go with like barbershop quartet outfits, you know what I mean? The hats and everything.
Maybe she can start dancing to some Pussycat songs. I don't know.
Oh yeah. What about like, could she go out there and do WAP? You know what I mean? Then just have a bunch of like pictures of tigers like that are wet on the background, you know what I mean? For wet ass pussies. That could work.
I'm rooting for Carol. I hope she makes it past round two. I think she is. Maybe she was the worst dancer, but something tells me that at the bottom two, they're like, okay, people are only watching our show because of Carole Baskin. Let's just let her pass.
Yeah. I feel like they might keep her around for a while because of that.
Yeah. Like,
well, I don't know how Dance with the Stars works. Is it like American Idol where fans vote for who they want to move on?
I have no idea, to be honest.
Okay.
We need to look into that.
Because if it is, then she's got the second least amount of votes. You know what I mean? Like then I guess people aren't tuning in to watch her.
That's
or
true.
At least not voting for her.
And people are angry at her. If you watched the... If you end up watching the YouTube video, Tristan, very few people liked the video. There's a lot of dislikes.
Is it because the dancing was bad or because they just don't like Carole Baskins?
I think it's because they don't like her.
Is it because they believe she killed her husband?
Yeah, because she killed her husband. And we discussed this last week, but during her dance routine, right afterwards, during the commercials, the family of her dead husband spent all this money to release a commercial right between the episode about how she killed her husband.
That's good. That's smart. I respect the play from that family. That is intelligent.
Yeah, it was
good. They got them all good. That was a clever play.
It was a big brain move.
That was a big brain move. They're out here playing 40 chess. That was smart.
Yeah, and so this is where we lead to the next part of the story, where Carole Baskins is now in a lawsuit. She was every interview after this dance routine wasn't about her amazing Eye of the Tiger, sexy, symbolic dancing. It was about this commercial and about all the questions about her husband. And she came out to say that, I believe, the receptionist or somebody who was connected to her and the husband, she said that she was more to blame than her. And why am I getting the hate? Like, I'm not as guilty as this person. She threw someone's name out and the family picked that right back up and they're now suing her for defamation. Yeah. So, you know, they are not big Baskin fans.
Yeah, I can see that. That's crazy.
So, yeah, Carole Baskins, come on, just let my girl dance. I don't know why she needs to get all this hot water, but big brain moves with the family.
I respect the play.
All right, well, that is an update for Carole Baskin here. Before we move on to sports, Alex, I know you've been sitting on this story. You have been hungry for some food news. What's going on with pumpkin spice?
Yeah, I'm not really sure if I'm hungry for food news, but all I'll say is, goddamn, I don't think we needed this food news. What in the god-awful catastrophe is happening right now?
I don't know until you tell me.
Yeah, that was a horrible introduction. There is now pumpkin spice craft dinner for those of you
that legit? I thought that was a meme. I saw that they tweeted that.
It was a joke. It is a legit thing, Tristan.
It's like quote unquote legit. Kraft Dinner is releasing like it's like a contest, like a bunch of people. Yeah, like a couple, like everybody can sign up for it, and they'll release a certain amount. It comes with like a cup and a spoon. It's like a nice, cute, fun merchandise.
It's a fun, yeah, it's like a marketing thing. You know, yeah, I like this. That's you know, you do you. That's.
No, it's great. I think they should do that more often. Honestly, I don't know why Wellig's so hating on this. This is great.
I feel like Welling, are you a fan of the pumpkin spice? Do you get
stupid? I personally think apple pie is the all-time fall food. Pumpkin got nothing on apple pie.
I enjoy apple pie more than pumpkin pie. I can agree with that.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be the better. And I agree. I'm not a huge pumpkin lover. I mean, I don't drink coffee anyway, so I don't drink any of the lattes or anything like that. But I don't love pumpkin. But if people do, go for it, man. Like, that's on you. Enjoy it. Enjoy that. I ain't going to stop you.
I don't know, though. Welling doesn't follow news. I'm the one that has to get all these stories. But Welling seemed to know a lot about this pumpkin spice thing. I think he's following some magazines for pumpkin spice.
That's where you're wrong, Quentin. Welling's just a massive Kraft Dinner fan.
Yeah, that's true. He's not following the weekly pumpkin spice issue of Time Magazine. He's following the Kraft Dinner updates. Welling, answer this question for me here. Are you a top fan for the Kraft Dinner account?
And if so, why not?
And for the Kraft Dinner account?
Yeah, like, do you, like, message them every week about your weekly bowl of Kraft Dinner?
This is every other day.
He tweets them every day. You've fucking done it again, guys. This is some good shit.
I mean, listen. I will say in my best Southern accent, I don't know why I'm doing Southern accent, that sometimes you just get those cravings and you throw on a cup of Kraft Dinner. You chop up some wieners and you toss it all up in there, and you mix it with some of that pepper, some of the salt, a little bit of Cajun for some kick, and boom, bada boom. Don't put ketchup in your KD, folks, or else you're a psychopath.
I agree with that 100%. Finally, Welling's making some sense. Screw ketchup and Kraft Dinner.
We should send this clip to. The application for the pumpkin spice. I'm sure he'll be one of the winners.
Dude, I hope so. That'd be fantastic. Yeah, well, have you applied to get a box of pumpkin spice Kraft Dinner? Because if you do, can you do like a food review on the podcast here for us?
Yeah.
Like, I want the Welling food review of pumpkin spice Kraft Dinner.
Well, if I can get a hold of the special quantity, I will let you know.
I love how you transitioned from well dog to Southern mid sentence.
I'm all over the place, man.
Well, I can't wait till the Magawa Hour episode where Welling does his food review.
Dude, it's gonna be the best part of the episode.
Yeah. Magawa sniffs for bombs and Welling every episode of the week. He eats a bowl of Kraft Dinner and lets us know about it.
A different type, you know? Like, well, right now, what is your favorite type of Kraft Dinner? Are you like a classic guy, or do you like the white cheddar, or like the swirly ones?
I already explained to you where the Kraft Dinner is, fool.
Yeah, Tristan, we don't have time to have it, to listen to another minute of his
explanation.
Let's move into sports.
Save it for the Magawa Hour.
Okay, we'll save it for the Magawa Hour.
All right. Maybe we should just change this podcast to the Magawa Hour in honor of the hero.
We should.
Yeah. Since we're always about an hour long. There you go. The Magawa Hour.
I'm in for it.
All right, Alex. What do we got here for sports?
Well, if you watched NFL football, you'll find this stat kind of surprising. So there was a game played between the Dallas Cowboys and the Atlanta Falcons. Now, for those of you people that don't know me, I am a massive Cowboys fan.
He just likes the hats.
I mean,
Hold on. I don't know much about sports, but correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't the Cowboys the one that like everyone shits on for the meme, or is that a different? Patriots. What was that?
Are you thinking of Patriots? That's the one everyone hates. Patriots.
No. What's the big blue star?
Oh, that's Cowboys.
Yeah, that's the one that everyone shits on. Okay, all right.
they're known as America's team, okay?
No, they're known as the meme, right?
I've seen those memes before, and I've seen those memes with plenty of other teams in them.
So maybe I'm following anti-Cowboy fans.
Probably. But let me explain this. The Cowboys playing the Falcons. Everyone knows I'm a big Cowboys fan. So my Cowboys go down 20-0 early.
Well, and let me guess. They come back.
This is the worst news story ever.
Oh, honey, I'm not even done.
Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
All right. So then at another point, it's 29-10. You know, the lead
oh my gosh,
still
he's
there.
Dragging this out.
No, I'm not dragging this out.
No, this is important, Quentin.
What's the score? What was the score at the very end?
Crazy stat that's going to blow your
mind.
Okay,
what's the stat? What's the score at the end?
No. Let me keep going. Keep going.
No, I got to tell the story.
I have work in an hour, and I want to finish my movie. What's the stat?
All right, I'll try and speed up a little bit. Okay, so basically, with about 5 minutes left, the Cowboys are down 15 points. That is a statistical probability winning of 0.1%.
Oh, wow.
There's basically zero chance it happens, right?
Did you calculate this stat yourself, or did you like copy paste off like
no,
a tweet?
No, it's 0.1%.
Okay, 0.1. All right.
Yeah.
So what's the story here?
Cowboys came all the way back. They got a touchdown. They kicked an onside kick, which Atlanta was very stupid on, and they kicked a game-winning field goal with no time left. And I tell you, if you're a Cowboys fan, you were fucking rioting.
So okay. No news stories this week, right?
So basically no news stories. if you like football and you like stats, that's a pretty crazy stat for you.
Very exciting. Tristan, how riveting was that? He's speechless. Tristan is absolutely speechless. Well, that is it for this week on Pop Topic. And till next week, you can see me watching the second round of Dancing with the Stars with my Team Carol Baskin t-shirt. I'm Quentin.
Okay, I gotta think of one.
I thought you had such an easy one. You can see me and Magawa on the Magawa Hour.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm going to go with that. And you can catch me and my boy Magawa on the Magawa Hour, where I'll be playing the sexy cop, just wearing the vest. You know how it is.
With no blur in sight.
This is an uncensored rated R helicopter.
Whoa. All right. Well, that's good to know for a sneak peek for the Magawa Hour.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Tristan's not available to sign off.
Yeah, well, Tristan, he's just so excited to watch Carol Baskin's dancing and your Magawa Hour special. So.
Oh, absolutely. He's already getting prepared for it. He's cooking up popcorn right now.
That's right. All right. Have a great day, guys. Bye.
Have a good day, guys. Yeah.